It's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5.
And welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. Preds Insiders brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. We've got a lot to get to on the show today. We're going to be joined by our friend Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio. Also going to be joined by Dan Rosen from NHL.com. Got lots to get to with both of those guys. We'll keep it more Preds-centric with Justin Bradford coming up here in just a few minutes. And obviously some league-wide issues going on right now with COVID-19 and a suspension in play. We'll get to that and more with Dan Rosen coming up a little bit later as well. The Nashville Predators originally scheduled to be playing tonight against the Dallas Stars. That game obviously was postponed by the National Hockey League. They extending the postponement that was originally through the holiday break through the 26th. That got extended through the 27th by the National Hockey League a few days ago. So no Predators versus the Stars tonight. Right now, as you take a look at the schedule, the Predators scheduled to be back on the ice later this week on Wednesday as they would take on the Washington Capitals. And then on Thursday as well, taking on Columbus before coming back home for the new year against Chicago coming up this Saturday at 1 o'clock. A little matinee hockey scheduled at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Saturday. So hopefully everything goes well with that and the Predators are able to get back on the ice. They have won 7 games in a row. They're on a 7-game winning streak. It feels like forever since they played a hockey game. That's because it largely has been a long time since they played a hockey game. Their last game coming on December 17th against the Chicago Blackhawks. They won that game 3-2, and they've been off ever since due to postponements from COVID-19 from both their team and the NHL as well. So hopefully back on the ice this week for the Nashville Predators. It'll be interesting to see the game on Wednesday against Washington. A little reunion of sorts. The first time the Predators will take on the Peter Laviolette-coached Washington Capitals since Peter Laviolette moves on to Washington. So interested to see that. Interested to see as well how they respond. You know, we've talked about it. We talked about it on Preds Insiders last week. Not really ever a good time to go on a break when you're in a winning streak, but certainly this was not a good time at all. The Predators playing some good hockey. They've won 7 games in a row. You take a look at the standings right now, they're in second place in the Central Division, so we'll see whether or not they can pick things up where they left off against Washington later this week and then Columbus as well. So you're getting right back into the thick of things with a back-to-back on the schedule this week, and we'll see if the Predators can handle that, hopefully healthier as they head into that game as well. Lots to like about the way the Predators have been playing. We'll get to more of that coming up here in just a few minutes with Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio as well. But I got to say, and we talked about this a little bit last week, I'm super bummed that the NHL is not going to the Olympics. I know it's the right decision, and there's all sorts of things going on right now with COVID-19 and, you know, with the protocols in China being what they are. You know, there's a chance that if you get COVID over there, you could be stuck there for a long time, you know, a few weeks before you'd be able to get back over stateside. And at that point in the season, you might miss a couple of weeks of action, maybe 3-4 weeks of action coming down the stretch for a playoff run. So that was obviously very concerning for the players, and ultimately the NHL and the NHLPA deciding not to participate in the 2022 Winter Olympic Games. Hopefully they're back there in 2026. I think they will be. I just think this is a bummer. Look, there's obviously more important things going on right now than Olympic hockey. I get that. But honestly, it just kind of takes the buzz out of it for me. I loved one of my greatest hockey memories is thinking back to 2010 when it was the United States in Canada in that gold medal game where Sidney Crosby scored for Team Canada. Obviously, being an American, I was pulling for a different result in that game, but that was just one of the most fun hockey games that I have ever watched. And it's just, to me, so much better when you've got the best in the world competing against each other. I was really looking forward to that this time around with the NHL and the Olympics, but not to be, as we found out. Just one of those things that, you know, it's just the way the world is right now, and it's tough to swallow there, but hopefully we'll see NHL players back in the Olympics very, very soon. I know, you know, based on players I've talked to, like Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg, all these different guys who had a chance to represent their teams in the Olympics this year for the Predators. It's a bummer. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, they really wanted to make sure, and this is not just Predators players, this is players in general in the NHL. They wanted to make sure they were back in the Olympics. That was very important to them. That was a huge part of the CBA negotiations as well. They wanted to participate in the Olympics and to be eligible to do that. That was going to happen this year, and now it's not going to happen. So a tough break on that regard. So we'll see what happens with the Winter Games themselves coming up in China here in just a few months, just a couple of months away from the 2022 Winter Olympics that will not have NHL players. And now the question is, all right, the Winter Olympics aren't happening. You would assume that a lot of those games that have been postponed to this point are going to be put into that part of the schedule in February. I am interested to see exactly how they do that, because at some point, there's not an all-star break this year for the players. You need a break at some point. I know you just got a few days off for the holiday break, but they're going to need a break coming down the stretch with the schedule already being pretty compact. You know, taking into account the Olympics anyway, you're going to make it even more compact with rescheduling some of these games. So I'm really interested to see coming down the stretch here of what exactly happens in terms of the Olympics not taking place and how that impacts the scheduling as we move forward. And we had Darren McFarland on this morning on Robbie and Retro to offer his thoughts on that regard. Had some interesting comments when it comes to what the NHL could do from a scheduling perspective. Here's what Darren McFarland of Darren Donick and Chase had to say a little bit earlier today.
The reality is the more this thing kept getting, the more games that kept getting lost. It's like, this is just what. Because here's ultimately, do they still want to go and represent their country? Of course. Do they still want to get paid, get a paycheck here for their current job, their full-time job here? The answer is yes. And unfortunately, that's a little bit more important to them because they have families and money and paychecks are important to them. That's why they do this stuff. It is a business. And, you know, they don't want to give those up. And the further this thing gets away from them, they're not going to play 82 games. Look, that's the other harsh reality that nobody wants to talk about. Like, if they don't figure out a way to start making up these games at some point, they're not going to go until June and then start their playoffs. Okay, they've already said they don't really want to. They don't want to add anything at the end. They're going to try to cram this somewhere in between. Everybody's pointing at February, but it's going to be a little bit more spread out. It's not going to be that entire 3-week window. They're still going to get time off, but the reality is if this thing just keeps happening and they just keep postponing games, it's going to be a shortened season again. There's not going to be a place to play your 82 games. So that is a harsh reality that I hope we're not talking about. But if this continues down the path that it's going, there's just going to be no way they're going to be able to cram 82 games in.
So obviously that is not something that anybody wants to see, the idea of not playing an 82-game season this year. That's happened in each of the past two seasons, and it would be nice to see a full season completed this year in the National Hockey League. I'm sure everything that can be done to ensure that happens will be done. But as Darren points out, I mean, there are, you know, some scheduling realities that you have to live with here too. You don't want your playoffs stretching out into late July and August if you can at all avoid it if you're the NHL. So our world continues to be complicated by COVID-19, and the sporting world continues to be complicated by that as well. We'll see how the National Hockey League is able to handle that as we move forward here. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our good friend Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio. We'll get his thoughts on the NHL's COVID situation, the Nashville Predators, and what they can do to continue this hot streak as they come back to play later this week. All that coming up next. This is Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley here as your host, and we are very pleased to welcome in our good friend Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio. Justin, Merry Christmas. Thanks for taking time to join us today.
Absolutely. I hope you had a great Christmas, Robbie, and yeah, appreciate you having me on.
Well, there's a lot to get to on the Predators front, obviously, and the NHL front as well. So let's just start there with the NHL. Obviously, they've had some problems as of late, Justin, with COVID-19 and had an extended holiday break. Predators were supposed to play tonight against the Dallas Stars, and that game got postponed as well. So we know no Olympics are happening for the NHL and for the NHL players. How do you think the NHL handles this as they move forward here, knowing that the Omicron variant, everything going on right now in the world with COVID-19 could continue to be a factor? What do you think happens as we move forward here? And I guess If you're the NHL, how do you make sure you try to be as safe as possible while trying to fit in 82 games as well?
Oh, yeah. That's a big loaded question there, Robbie.
Sure is.
I mean, we just saw the news break yesterday that we knew was going to eventually happen, that the NHL and NHLPA, you know, agreed to allow for taxi squads again, which is obviously desperately needed if they want to continue the season, and also some CBA modifications in terms of roster call-ups and emergency exceptions and everything too, which has been obviously needed as we've seen so many teams have to play shorthanded because of the cap, yet the NHL is making them play, but they couldn't because you had players in COVID protocol. It's like, okay, need you to be a little more clear here and what we're able to do and not do. You're making us play, but we can't because of the salary cap, which is a problem here, and can't call out players because they can't fit them under the cap. And I just think the NHL has handled this very poorly, up to this point at least. I mean, we've seen other leagues be able to go on without having as many issues, or they've been even more clear.
Yep.
I know the NBA has been able to take care of a lot of things. The NFL, I mean, even though they had a couple slight postponements, they've overall been able to take care of things pretty well. But the NHL has just been non-fluid with so many things, and we've seen it's been extremely frustrating just from a fan of the game standpoint. And you can also empathize with what the players are feeling as well, because it hasn't been fully clear on what's going to be postponed and what isn't going to be postponed. I mean, we saw the Preds and Avalanche play, then immediately all of a sudden then there's postponements happen. It's like, well, why'd that game go on then if you had all these players in COVID protocol? I mean, the Avalanche voted to play shorthanded to play that game, and then you have postponements. So up to this point, it has been a poop show for the league, and they finally made these modifications to have this come into place, which was desperately needed. But I think for the most part, when you have, and obviously this is going to get into a gray area here for what people want to discuss on a sports show, right, that when you have the league pretty much all vaccinated and hopefully most of them are asymptomatic, the hope is that that's the reason why you did this, is so you can play the game, that you can do it safely, and that you are protected overall against it so that you can safely play your game. So I'm sure there'll be adjustments made with the health protocols as it goes on. But that was the whole point of doing this, is so they could play the game. And now you have a taxi squad that's in place, so hopefully they can continue that as well too. But that's what we see. I mean, it's been frustrating for fans, I know, for people that had tickets to celebrate the holidays, to go watch their team play, or to give tickets away or travel in for the holidays. So I just hope they continue to be clear and fluid with the teams, because we've seen so much frustration come out of the teams and even the players. I mean, we saw Nick Cousins, his tweet, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we've seen plenty of frustration coming from the players that we probably would see, if it was any other league where players are more outspoken about stuff, we probably would have seen way more action on social media.
Oh, yeah. I think we're all with you there. And then there's the Predators part of this, too, where, I mean, there's never a good time for something like this to happen, but this feels like kind of an especially bad time. They'd won 7 games in a row. They're playing really well right now. They're number 2 in the Central Division. And I guess the biggest question is, as they hopefully get back in action this week, can they pick up where they left off, or are they going to be dealing with, you know, a ton of rust out there? What are we going to see as they come back? So not a great timing on this from the Predators' perspective as well.
Right. And I mean, the good thing when we look at this is that even while being very shorthanded, they've still found ways to win with that next man up mentality that I know gets very cliche, but it's the type of thing that they have going on right now. I mean, against Colorado, a very good team. Yeah, they're missing some players, but they still had some very talented skill players out there, and Nashville went out and whooped them. And then even just up against their backs again in Chicago, they win it in overtime very quickly. So they've shown that even with key players out, and we're talking about some major key players. I mean, when you're missing Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, who have been playing very well this season, and you find a way to win, okay, that's great. And they do it with even less talent and having guys out and having basically almost a full AHL squad playing, or at least 50% of your team is an AHL team out there, and they find ways to win. So I won't put anything against that. If anything, it allows some guys are maybe bumped up a little bit so that always get roughed up, some extra chance to heal. I mean, Philip Forsberg, he came back from injury, and he's just been on fire since then, and this allows even more time to allow anything that might be ailing him or just a little bit of a hangover from that to just completely refresh. So I look at it as almost a good time in the middle of the season like this to at least have some time to heal their bodies more than just a couple of days they typically get off, and that they can come back because they know what they have. They know what they have is special. And granted, yeah, no one team likes to be off, but every team is off. So with every team having this break like this, rust could be everywhere. It's who's going to recover best from that rust. And I think the Predators have a lot of good things going for them right now that they can whittle that away much more quickly because of what John Hines has talked about, that mental fortitude they finally instilled in the team. You can see it in their actions. You can see that they're able to come back and win games. You can see that even if they're not favored in a game, they can come back to win. Or even if they're in a hostile territory, they can come out and win and find ways to win. And that's what good teams do. And right now, the Predators are a good team.
Well, to that point, Justin, I got to say, like, I've been really pleasantly surprised by what I've seen from this group. I mean, full disclosure, I had them finishing seventh in the Central Division this year before the season began. And, you know, there's still a long way to go, but I think I've seen enough out of this point to realize out of this team, I mean, that's not what they are. They're not going to finish seventh in the Central Division. My question for you is, how surprised are you by what you've seen for this group? And have you seen enough at this point into the season to say, hey, maybe this just is what this team is, and they're really good, and they're going to be right there competing for maybe the top spot in the Central?
Yeah, I'm right with you, Robbie. I mean, I had them finishing sixth or seventh in the division as well, just knowing that there's a lot of turnover and you're going to have a lot of fresh faces getting a lot more ice time. And they started out rough, right? I mean, we all were like, well, this is what we're going to expect right now. And then they've been able to put together a win streak like this. And I mean, some teams can put together streaks, but what we see overall with some of the adversity they face is that this is a good team. And granted, they're tied with St. Louis overall in terms of points, but points percentage-wise, they're second in the conference, points percentage, which is pretty crazy. Now, granted, the West is nowhere near as strong as the East right now in terms of that, but that doesn't matter. It matters right now what's where they're at in the Central and where they're at in their own conference. And only 1 point away from Minnesota, who has the same number of games played, and in first place. And so even when you look at where seventh place is, for Chicago's 26 points, and they're 7 points away from six. So they'd have to try to drop that far. I mean, they're going to win games. Just by having Yusuf Saros at net, they're going to win games, no matter what is happening out there, because he's going to steal games for them with what we've seen out of him so far in his sample size from last season and this season. So I'm very pleasantly surprised, and over a third of the way into the season now, 30 games played out of 82, hopefully, that we have a good enough sample size to know this is a good team. This is a playoff team. I don't want to put them as a contender necessarily yet or anything like that, but we know what we have right now in them is that they're a good team. They're competitive. They can win games. They can make some mistakes, but they can recover from them. Their special teams has obviously improved, especially in the power play, and that's what you need to be a good team, is a power play that's at least average. And right now, they're above average, and that's even more important come playoff time. You have a goaltender that can steal games. You still have your Norris-worthy defenseman in Roman Josi that can completely carry a team. You have Phil Forsberg for now and what he can do and how special a player he is. Matt Duchene, when hopefully he comes back, that he is feeling well as well, too, and can continue the hot run that he's been on. Mikael Granlund has been doing well this season, too. So you have your star players are doing what they're supposed to do to help carry the team. But then when all these COVID protocols and injuries settled in, you had your secondary scoring finally pick up too, with Jakob Trenin, Colton Sissons, Tanner Janot, Ellie Tolvanen getting into the mix finally this season too. So those are all the makings of what a good team is. And I think they've recovered from the changes in the offseason, and they got a new air in the locker room. And that means a lot. I mean, they needed some freshness, and they've even mentioned it too, that it just feels different. It's a different air about them. They're pushing each other because you have a lot of young people, and that's what makes a good team. They're fun. They're exciting to watch right now.
Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio on with us here on Preds Insiders. And Justin, as you pointed out, there's a lot of really good stories so far this year for the Predators. I mean, obviously, I think you and I would both agree near the top of that list is Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson with the way that they've played and how consistent they've been. Outside of those two, I guess, what has surprised you the most about this team, or maybe who has surprised you the most about this team so far this season as they sit here 30 games in?
Yeah, aside from those two, I'd say what's been a good, pleasant surprise, and I wouldn't necessarily say surprise, maybe not be the right word, but a good consistent of, you know what, he's proven his worth, is Tanner Janot.
Yeah.
17 points in 30 games, being typically a bottom six forward, but he has come out and shown, this is why you protected me. This is why I got protected in the expansion draft, because he's popping in goals. He's getting assists. He's laying out some big hits. And he's also playing a very responsible game overall too, but he's also difficult to play against. And that's what this team has talked about so much of, is that they want to be difficult to play against. He adds to that. So does Jakob Trenin, but he's a big body and he's going to clear some space, but also he's going to the front of the net. He's making sure to set up screens. He's getting in the dirty areas. He's earning special teams time. So all those little factors right there are showing why he was worthy of protection as an undrafted guy coming in and getting over a half a point per game. as what's typically a bottom six player, that's fantastic. I mean, that's something, too, that you can have for years to come. And he's not a dime a dozen player, because you can get plenty of dime a dozen players that play in the bottom six, but not one that's able to chip in offensively as well as be a big body. Usually it's one or the other, and he has both those factors right now. And so he's a good piece to have in that third line, second line type of player, and especially in the special teams and the power play to set up some opportunities by screening the net or clearing some space out and everything too, that he's been a good pleasant surprise to continue on what we saw in that very small sample size last season.
Justin, what have been your thoughts so far on Philip Tomasino? I mean, you look at his numbers, the points aren't going to blow you off the page or anything. He's got 5 goals, 4 assists, 9 points in 26 games. I think he's had some moments this year where he's looked really, really good. I think he's had some moments where he's looked like a rookie this year. But as somebody who's watched him for a long time now, both at the junior level, the American Hockey League, and now with his first stint in the NHL, what have been your impressions of Philip Tomasino thus far?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, he's put in some times where he has some good goals. He's had a couple great assists as well in terms of being able to find, like, what was it, the Roman Josi goal, where he's able to just find Josi and bam, he popped it in.
Oh, yeah.
So he has good vision out there. And, I mean, he looks like a rookie sometimes. That's totally understandable and totally fine. I mean, given his draft year and his draft position, he is doing well for where he's at. He's only played pro 1 year, and that was in the AHL, in a weird AHL season where they're basically playing their home games in a practice rink. When he played with the Wolves last season. So he didn't have that full atmosphere experience of professional hockey. Yeah, the speed was there. The size of the body he was playing against was there. But still wasn't a full pro experience, and having even more pressure probably feeling from the crowd and coming in and playing in those types of experiences. But, I mean, for what he is, I'm good with where he's at right now, because he's showing some good vision. He's showing those flashes. That's what you want to see, is that progression. I mean, we kind of saw some things with Ellie Tolvin where last season it was like, okay, there's the kid. That's what we've been waiting for. And then it started off a little slow this year, and now he has a couple tip-in goals, a couple good wristers, and he's looking like what we expected out of him. And it takes some time for young players to warm up, especially when you have some of those veterans out there that get more ice time, that sometimes are given more opportunities with better players on their wings or as their center as well, too. So what we see out of him is just like you said. He has some good flashes. He has a couple of times where he looks like a rookie, and that's all part of that growing process. But at least for me, if anything, he's been put in more of a position to be successful because he's getting ice time. He's been on the power play a few times, put him in positions there to where he has a little more ice to work with. So I like what I'm seeing so far. Obviously, you always want to see more out of a first-round pick, but the fact that he is playing and he's getting that time and he's just getting those opportunities to put himself in a position to be successful is what matters right now. At the end of the season, let's reevaluate what we saw out of him and just expect more. But right now, 9 points in 26 games, it could be better, but I don't think this is anything for anyone to worry about by any means, because we've seen so many good flashes of his vision. And I mean, look at all those breakaways he's had where he hasn't been able to finish. You know it's going to come to where he's going to be able to finish on his breakaways, because it shows his speed, it shows his vision, his skill, that he can find a way to get away from the defense like that, not have to get over that hurdle and finish him.
Justin, I'm interested to get your thoughts on this as somebody who's obviously very familiar with this franchise and has followed kind of the trajectory of where this team has gone the last few years. Like, at the start of this season, I remember kind of sitting around one day and thinking to myself, man, I don't sense a lot of buzz about this team from this fan base, and it just kind of felt like, I don't know, maybe stagnant is the right word, as it has in a long time. And lately, and obviously winning helps, and the young guys playing as well as they played, that's obviously going to help. But this fan base kind of feels renewed from an energy standpoint, if I could spit the word out, this year. I sense kind of renewed energy from this fan base about this group and about what they could be, both in the short term and the long term as well. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, I agree. And I think there's a lot of factors that aren't even hockey related that play into that too, because when you look at the size of Nashville, how it's growing, you look at the other teams in Nashville, like the Tennessee Titans, obviously high expectations coming into the season for them to be a Super Bowl contender, and then the big injury to Derrick Henry, but they found a way to continue to be competitive and everything too. So there's buzz about them. Then you have Nashville SC, who's 2 years in a row made the playoffs for MLS. That's a lot of buzz for two other teams in the city that still is a growing city, or not a large city yet, So there's only so much energy and ticket dollars and stuff for people to spend their money on. And so the Predators, I think, took a little bit of a backseat because of the changes, and everyone expected them to not be as competitive this year, expected to be the quote-unquote competitive rebuild that I know David Poile does not like being more. but people kind of accepted that and went, okay, you know, I'll go. It'll be fun to watch. And it's like, just enjoy it while it lasts, or just go and have fun and don't expect them to be good or to be competitive. And you're going for the sake of loving the sport and seeing these young guys get opportunity to play. Well, and now the team is performing really well, and the MLS season's done as well, too, and we're getting to that time where college football is coming to an end with bowl season, getting ready to wrap up the next couple weeks. More people can focus that energy on a team, and they're going, oh, wow, the Predators are competitive and good. Look, they're second in the division. Why did you get tickets? So I think it's all those different factors, plus the ticket prices have been kind of expensive and priced some people out. We know it happens when a team wins that. They're able to charge more money for tickets. But now people are looking to spend their dollars again in entertainment and to go out and find something exciting and fun to watch. And when you have a team that's full of players that are performing, you have your $9 million forwards that are performing as well, too. People want to see those electric type of plays. They want to see fun plays. They want to see the drama that Philip Forsberg has with him, with scoring goals. And, oh, my gosh, is he going to get traded? Is he going to resign? What's going to happen there? All those main storylines start coming up to get people interested. So I think it's a lot of key factors that they weren't competitive from the start, and you had other teams that were taking that attention from it. Now they're getting competitive at the right time, too, to really push for that. Plus the stadium series is coming up. That'll draw a lot of attention, too, and especially the team performing well. The national attention that's going to bring with it, too, is just going to heighten it even more.
Justin, last thing for you here, and you brought it up. I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. The calendar is about to flip to 2022, and Philip Forsberg is still not under contract beyond this year for the Nashville Predators. And look, this was going to be a complicated process anyway. I think it's been made even more complicated given where they are in the standings at the moment. How do you think this is going to play out between Philip Forsberg and the Predators?
Oh, man, that is a question. You said it right there, too. Had this team been underperforming or performing on what we thought they would, which is, you know, hover around the 6 or 7 position of the Central, it would have been pretty easy that if he wasn't re-signed by the trade deadline that you trade him because you're getting a lot of assets. Well, now, with him performing really well, and Forsberg obviously playing very well coming back from his injury, it makes people question. And I understand why people are questioning that, because you still feel that whole Ryan Suter thing in the back of your head with what happened there, too. And that's to go with any player. What team would want to let a player of Philip Forsberg's caliber walk away for nothing? And when you could have traded for plenty of things, especially with the way he's performing, there's no doubt that even if he is underperformed during his career, that he would draw a very, very large ransom from multiple teams looking for that key wing piece to send him over the edge to win a Stanley Cup. But then you have the Nashville Predators that are 1 point out of first in the division right now, and David Poile and company are probably thinking, well, we're vying for the Stanley Cup now with the position that we're in, so why would we get rid of him? So I'm still on the wagon that if he is not re-signed by the trade deadline, you have to try to trade him, because if he walks away, because he's more than earned his opportunity to get paid, and the Predators still have to be very aware of what they're going to do with the cap, even though they cleared plenty out and they made the room for him, but he's still going to command a large sum of money, and to have $9 million potentially locked up in 3 players each, that's a lot of money. And so that's where I'm still on that boat of you have to try, but I'm feeling that right now with the way the team's performing, it's more enticing for him to resign because he's seen how the youth are performing, how this team can perform without Victor Arvidsson and Ryan Ellis right now too, that they kind of looking like they are trying to reopen the window, and how Eustace Saros is performing as well too. All those little factors of, is this team going to be competitive to have a window in the next few years? I'm sure is kind of going through Forsberg's mind as well. And I believe he does like it here in Nashville. I believe he truly does as well. So that's going to be a key factor. But, yeah, I'm still on the train that if you don't have him re-signed, then you have to try just because of the future of the team.
Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio has been our guest here on Preds Insiders. Does a great job for Penalty Box Radio reporting on the Nashville Predators. Justin, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for taking time to join us tonight.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Robbie.
Absolutely. We'll come back. We'll be joined by my friend Dan Rosen from NHL.com. That's coming up next. This is Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you as your host, and I am pleased to be joined by my good friend Dan Rosen from NHL.com. Dan, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing good, man. We're doing good. We're ready to get back at it, you know? Let's get back at it. Let's get them back on the ice.
Let's get back on the ice. It's certainly been a challenging couple of weeks here in the NHL. I do have to say, and look, there's obviously way more important things going on, and I recognize that. I am bummed that we're not going to see NHL players in the Olympics. I love me some Olympic hockey.
Dude, I do too. And I covered the last two that the NHL players were in Vancouver and Sochi, and On a strictly selfish personal basis, they are the two most incredible things I think I've done in my career. You know, just being there and you really realizing that the stage that it is and the world is watching, it's phenomenal. And the hockey itself is phenomenal. But I understand exactly what's going on. I'm bummed too. And I think a lot of people in the hockey world are bummed, and rightfully so. But there has to be an understanding of why this is happening. You know, the business of hockey, the business of the NHL has to come first. Health and safety protocols have to come first. And the Olympics would have been nice, but it's just not something it's not the right year. It's just not the right year to be doing this. And it's not good, you know, because everybody wants to see best on best, and we haven't seen best on best in a long time. Hopefully we will soon. But I'm bummed as well, but I am in complete understanding of everything and the reasons why this had to happen this way, and the league wanted it to, you know, the league was pushing for it for the players. They were not, you know, they didn't want it to happen, but they were saying, this is what the players want. We negotiated in good faith. We'll go. But now there's been a disruption in schedule, an obvious disruption in schedule, and the business of the game has to come first.
Yep, I don't think there's any question about that. So, Dan, you and I were talking before the season, and full disclosure, I had the Predators finishing seventh in the Central Division, and look, I don't know that this is exactly what they are, which is second in the Central right now, but I've seen enough at this point for me to think they're probably not going to finish seventh in the Central either. How surprised are you by what you've seen out of this Predators team?
Well, I don't know if I'm surprised. I didn't know what to make of this, to be honest with you. Like, I thought that they could finish literally anywhere from, like, 2 through 6. And that's where the jumble was for me in this division, with the intention of Colorado being the best team in the division. And as of right now, Colorado, if you look at points percentage, is tied with Minnesota for the top team in the division. They aren't there. You look at the standings, you see them in fourth place points-wise, but they've played the fewest number of games. So I looked at Nashville and I said, man, if Johansson and Duchesne and Forsberg and Yossi and these guys really take off, and Saros is what we think he can be, man, they could finish second or third in the division. But if things break the wrong way, I kind of looked at them around 6, thinking Chicago and Arizona were going to be behind them, and that's what we've seen. And literally, it could break any way right now. I mean, Nashville could still finish 6. They're 7 points up on Dallas right now, which is in 6. So it's conceivable it could still happen. But I like what I've seen from the Predators. I don't see them dropping. You know, what you need is you need solid special teams. They finally have that with a power play that can score. And, you know, for a long time, Robbie, you all know they had a power play that couldn't score.
Oh, yeah.
And now they got a power play that can score. And so that makes a big difference. And you need elite goaltending. And they've had elite goaltending for a long time. And they've continued on with that with Saros. You'd like to see their penalty kill get a little bit better. But if your power play can operate at around 25%, you'll take an 80% PK, you know, and still be a playoff team. I like what I've seen. I think that they've also really taken to the system that John Hines wants them to play. They're kind of like Sean Rourke, who you know very well, obviously my colleague at NHL.com. We do a podcast together. He brought it up, and he said they're kind of like the Calgary Flames light in that they're in your face, but not like, that's the entire game plan to be in your face. You know, they're kind of all over the ice, and they're getting their better players are producing. I mean, Yossi's having a terrific year, and like I said about Saros, they're good. I mean, I think they're just a legitimately good team right now.
Well, and that has Predators fans wondering, you know, Philip Forsberg, he's not under contract beyond this year, and, you know, the big talking point heading into this season was, all right, get Matthias Ekholm locked up. Well, they did that. And now Philip Forsberg still looking for that contract extension as well. You know, I think there's some doubt here in Nashville as to whether or not that's going to get done by the trade deadline. And, I, you know, my stance heading into the year was, I mean, you can't lose Philip Forsberg for nothing. I also didn't anticipate the Predators being this good. So I guess my question to you is, what happens if the Predators are sitting here in second or third place in the Central Division and Forsberg's still not under contract by the deadline? Do you move him? Do you keep him? What do you think David Poile does at that point?
Well, I'll tell you what I would do at that point. And I think, you know, David Poile knows a lot more than I do, obviously. I kind of find this laughable, to be honest with you, because if you are in a position first, second, third, you're in a playoff spot in the Central Division and you have the goaltending that they have, you got a shot.
Yeah.
Nobody's running away with it. I don't see anybody running away with it. So you got a shot, especially if you continue to play the type of hockey you're playing now. And you're talking about a guy in Philip Forsberg. He's a 30-goal scorer, right? You don't just trade those guys when you have a shot. So whether he is signed or not, if he's signed, great. You want him as part of your core going forward. They've done it in layers. You see the core now with Johansson and Duchesne and Forsberg and Sissons up front and a few others. And yeah, obviously Josi and Ekholm. And then behind them, you see guys coming up that are, you know, making names for themselves. So I want him signed, no question about it. But if he's not signed, I treat him as my own rental. I don't trade him. I keep him if I'm in contention, because what are you going to do at that point? What kind of message does that send to your team, to your coaching staff, to your fan base, if you trade one of your top players just so you don't lose him, a.k.a. for nothing, right?
Yeah.
What if you keep him, you make the playoffs, you win a round or two, all of a sudden you're in contention here, you're not losing him for nothing in the offseason. You get a lot out of him if he's playing on a team that I think is built to win. Like, they're in a rebuild / built to win mode, right? Like, they're kind of in between there. But if they get to March, you know, they get to the March 21st trade deadline and he isn't signed yet and they're in contention, he is your own rental. You keep him. And then you continue to try to keep signing him.
Dan Rosen from NHL.com on with us here on Preds Insiders. And Dan, it's interesting because, you know, it's crazy for me to say this, what I'm about to say, but I almost feel like the Tampa Bay Lightning and what they've accomplished has gone under the radar a little bit. I mean, they've won back-to-back Stanley Cups. They've done both of those in COVID years. And here they sit yet again, 30 games in, and they're in first place in the Eastern Conference right now. I mean, it's just a machine going on right down there in Tampa Bay. What I guess when you start to stack up this Tampa Bay group with the Pittsburghs and the Chicagos and the LAs that we've seen over the past decade plus, where do you think this group stacks up? Because I kind of get the feeling they're not done competing for Stanley Cup championships.
They're not done. They got a lot of guys in their prime right now. Like, I mean, Kucherov and Point and Hedman and even Stamkos is, you know, teetering on the back end. But he's still a prime player. Killorn, Cirelli, you know, I mean, Sergachev is elite. You know, McDonough, and obviously Vasilevsky, in my opinion, the best goalie in the league.
Yep.
All guys who have years left. I mean, just years left in their games, and they're not going anywhere. It's really remarkable what they've accomplished. Yes, in the COVID years, to go back-to-back, that's pretty incredible right then and there. Just go back-to-back any time. But to deal with what they've had to deal with and do it is remarkable. But then you look at this season. Kucherov goes down with an injury, points out. What are they? They're just mowing them. They just keep going. You know, they have one three in a row going into this break. Now Sorelli's in COVID protocol. Point could be back this week. But they just keep motoring along. They're a team that understands exactly what the coach wants from them. The coach, John Cooper, is an elite coach, no question about it. But what he does now, I think, really should be give him a lot of credit, because you can coach a group up, but now you have to coach the group that's already up to stay there. And that's not an easy thing to do in the National Hockey League. And we see teams that are supposed to be at the top drop a lot because they lose that hunger. They lose that drive. And Cooper has kept that team hungry and driven. And look, they're 26-4 this season through 30 games. Now, a lot of that is without their most talented player, their most skilled player in Kucherov. And lately, the last 12 or 13 games without Braden Point, too. It's really incredible what they've been able to do. And the guys that come into that system, you know, a Matthew Joseph, you know, a Ross Colton. They come in knowing they got to buy in right away to the way that they need to play to help this team be successful, because that's how it works in Tampa, and they do, and they come in and they play well in their roles. They're a machine right now. They could go for it again. There's no question about it. It would be remarkable to go, you know, back to back to back, do the three-peat, but they could do it. And look, I think they stack up right there with Chicago and Pittsburgh, if not even better. Those, you know, like Pittsburgh won in 09, and then it really tailed,
yep.
And then they got back on a coaching change. Chicago was pretty consistent, 2010, 2013, 2015. But let's go back. I mean, 2015, the Tampa Bay Lightning were in the Stanley Cup final. 2016, they were in, I think, the Eastern Conference final, or they were around there. They missed it one year.
Yeah.
2017, 2018, they were in the Eastern Conference final, game seven, lost to 2017, lost against Pittsburgh. Yeah, then that happened against Columbus. I understand that, but they learn from it. They grow from it. They've won the Stanley Cup twice. I got my years mixed up, but this team has been an elite team going back now 6-7 years.
Dan, last thing for you. Obviously, and I've said this multiple times on my radio show, I think Connor McDavid is the most electrifying player to watch, not just in the NHL, but I think in professional sports. Like, I think Connor McDavid is that gifted. I guess my question for you is, they started off really hot and they've tailed off a little bit as of late. Do you think the way this Edmonton team is constructed, even with McDavid and Draisaitl, beyond those guys, is this team equipped in your mind to do some damage in the playoffs this time around?
No, I don't think so. Because in the regular season, for stretches of time, one or two players can take over, especially when they're as good as the two players that they've got in McDavid and Draisaitl. And I tend to agree with you about McDavid. I'm not an NBA aficionado at all. I can't speak to that league. I mean, I know who's good and who's not, but McDavid for me is, for my money, I mean, I would pay. I don't pay to see a lot of athletes. I would pay to see him.
No oh, yeah. question
about it, hero. That's number one. But you can ride hot streaks of one or two players who collecting 3-4 points a game and win in the regular season. What happens is it gets down to the nitty-gritty, and then in the playoffs is those lines typically tend to get shut down. Maybe you'll have one game where he jumps out and does it, but you need the depth. Look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Look at the Pittsburgh Penguins. Look at the Chicago Blackhawks. The three teams that we're just talking about, the so-called dynasty teams of late, right? All had depth, all had third lines that could really score and contribute in multiple ways. All won faceoffs, all had strong down, you know, we're all depth down the middle. We're all deep on the back end, all had elite goaltending. You know, like there's a lot of times when McDavid and Draisaitl play together, and that limits their depth down the middle. Their D is okay, but their forward depth isn't that great. They don't get a lot from everybody else. And their goaltending is very questionable. So, no, I don't think the way they're built right now, they're built to have any sustained success in the playoffs. They'll get there, but, you know, most likely they get there. But I don't see how they win with exactly the way they're constructed now, which is why Ken Holland wants to look at adding goaltending, which Ronnie wants to look at adding some depth D, and he wants to look at adding a third-line center.
Dan Rosen from NHL.com, also known as the GOAT, joining us here on the program. Dan, we appreciate so much you taking time to join us today, my man.
You got it, Robbie. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Really appreciate my man Dan Rosen for joining us tonight from NHL.com, offering some great insight on the Nashville Predators and the league as a whole. Certainly going to be interesting. I tell you what, the Predators have turned some heads so far this year, hopefully back on the ice with no problems this week, and they're able to continue to keep things going. It's been fun so far, I got to say. I've been really pleasantly surprised by what I've seen out of the Predators thus far, and we'll see whether or not they can keep that going. I like the nucleus they have. I like the work ethic they have. And when you factor in some of your best players starting to play like your best players again, like Dan Rosen just pointed out, that typically leads to success. So I think the Predators are a really good spot 30 games into this. We'll see if they can keep things going. Obviously, with Minnesota and St. Louis and Colorado and all these different teams, both in the Central and the West as well. You had Vegas on the other side. Anaheim's been a surprise team this year as well. There's going to be a lot of competition for just 8 playoff spots in the Western Conference. But right now, I think if you're a Predators fan, you've got to feel pretty good about the position that you've put yourselves in as you head into, you know, the second half of the season coming up here. And we'll see what the schedule looks like from a, you know, a rescheduling standpoint of the games that have been postponed up until this point. But lots to feel pretty good about right now if you're the Nashville Predators. And we'll see if they get back on the ice this week and if they can continue to take advantage. Big game against Washington on Wednesday, taking on Columbus on Thursday before coming back home on Saturday for an afternoon matchup against the Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena to kick off the new year. Looking forward to that one. Starting off 2022 with some hockey. It's hard to imagine a much better way to start off the new year than that. That's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. As always, we are brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. As always, this is your host, Robbie Stanley. We'll talk to you next week on Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.